Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, indeed. It's Thursday, the 2nd of May, 2024. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word life. It means forever. And that's a mighty long time, but I'm here to tell you something else. There is something else. It's TNT. Today's News Talk, a world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun day or night. And if you believe that, you're an absolute mug. That's what you are. Anyway, welcome to the show this morning. I am Rick Mahn. This is Locked and Loaded. Yeah, what lies ahead? God only knows, or Mungu anajua, because we were speaking a little bit of Swahili yesterday, and it seemed to go down well. Simon Gould was listening in, and he actually edited a video clip of Ian Davis and I doing the show in Kiswahili. Can you believe it? No one let it never be said that you don't get variety here on TNT, especially on the Locked and Loaded show. What's coming up this hour? Oh, too much to squeeze into an intro. Gemma Cooper's about to hop on any second now. She's our news correspondent, of course, for the uninitiated and the ignorant. She's our news correspondent, and she brings us today's breaking news. Jonathan Tilt will be joining me for the first time here on Locked and Loaded at about 20 past. He's the ex-party leader and founding member of the Freedom Alliance Party UK. Now he's an independent candidate for mayor in West Yorkshire, a canny Yorkshireman. Basil Valentine, end of the first hour, our number two, another dose, a second shot of Gemma Cooper, if you will, followed by a booster of Paul McGowan, artist and political commentator, and hopefully not the death blow delivered by the one and only Dr. Bruce Scott, beaming in from Scotland. Funnily enough, he's a psychoanalyst, psychotherapist, author, and all-around good guy. He also looks like a ginger version of Kerry King from the band Slayer. Quite impressive, if you ask me. But anyway, he's a good guy, and he will be joining me to round off the show here today. Of course, you can leave thoughts, comments, opinions, questions, suggestions, memes, gifts, nasty comments, nice comments, whatever you like, in our live chat, tntradio.live. And we shall endeavor to look at those and maybe even respond to a few of them. Sometimes I respond to them nice, and sometimes I can get a little bit tetchy on here. I'm not going to lie. I have been known to drive listeners away from the station with my acid tongue. But hey, that's me. I was always told when I came on this show, Rick, just be yourself. Be yourself, Rick, all the time. Well, sometimes Rick isn't a very nice person. He can be quite nasty, and he can hurt people's feelings. And, you know, that's life. That's all part of life. As old Prince sang, you know, it's part of life. But anyway, enough waffling from me. We're going to pause. We're going to think about life. We're going to ruminate. We're maybe going to swallow the phlegm that's in the back of our throats. And we're going to get ready for some breaking news here today on TNT. Today's News Talk. Don't even think about going.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma, why are you smiling like a Cheshire cat? Answer the question, please.
Because, of course, you so brilliantly opened the show with Prince. You know, you paraphrased the genius himself, the Purple King. You know, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Now, if you're a certain age or your taste in music is impeccable, you will know that that is the opening track from the best album from the best film ever, in my opinion, Purple Rain, Let's Go Crazy, opening track. So if only we'd had the organ to accompany it, you know, here beginneth the sermon, as led by Rick Mahn, Locked and Loaded, TNT.
I was listening to it this morning, I'm not going to lie, and I heard that it was on a random 80s playlist, and it came on, and I thought, man, that would be a great show opener for Locked and Loaded. But of course, we can't play music here because of copyrights. I think we would might get struck down or legal cases brought against us, but I don't think there's any law against me paraphrasing lyrics. And, you know, a nod to the Purple One, you know, colour me peach and black, colour him taken aback. Anyway, he was a bit of a legend, and I would argue, yeah, Purple Rain was a proper movie, but the Sign of the Times live, it's not really a movie, but it is. It's a concert movie. It is absolutely impeccable. And I was thinking about it the other day. I didn't watch it, but I was thinking about it. And there's the opener, they do Play in the Sunshine, if you know the song Play in the Sunshine. And then it has this lovely keyboard thing where it just wafts into a little red Corvette. I'm getting goose pimples just thinking about it. But yeah, great movie. So there's two suggestions for our lovely listeners this morning, Gemma, if they're they need some bit of oomph in their life. What do you reckon?
Well, Prince was awake. There's no doubt about that. Prince was awake. You know, if you look at his career, I'm not going to talk about Prince. My job is to talk about the UK headlines. But if you do a little bit of research into Prince, what he was all about, what his early music was about, and especially his later music, where he really did not hold back on about consciousness, your higher self, the powers that be, corporations running the world. There's all kinds of stuff in his music, hidden messages. And no surprise, he was bumped off at the tender age of 57, found dead in an elevator. And that very lyrics from that great song you just quoted, Let's Go Crazy, Are We Gonna Let the Elevator Bring Us Down? He meant the devil. He was found dead in an elevator in Paisley Park under very strange circumstances. I'm just going to leave it there. People can go off and do their own research. I'm sure many of you listening on TNT or watching TNT have already done your own research on Prince. That's why he changed his name to a symbol to escape his corporate slave masters. It's a whole load of stuff in there about Prince. He was bumped off. We're not going to be bumped off. We're still here to tell the tale. That's the main thing.
We are. And just a notable mention, Simon Gould, who I spoke about earlier on, took a little clip of Ian Davis. Now, he has left a little message in the live chat following on from our conversation. It was a little joke. He's a bit of a comedian, as our Simon. He said, I bought Prince's Greatest Hits the other day for 25 quid, but I partied like it was 1999. So that's an horrendously bad but super funny joke from the Gold Eagle himself, who he reliably informs us that he is always listening. That's reassuring and sinister at the same time. So thank you for that, Simon. We're glad to have you here, always listening to us. But anyway, I'm not digressing too much this morning. Gem, I'm going to bat it straight across to you. Breaking news of the day, what have you got for us?
I'd just like to say hello to Simon as well. I remember us meeting in Wales last year. So hi, Simon. Lovely to have you with us always 24/7 here on TNT. Headlines today. Well, there is so much going on, Rick, in the UK. In the last half an hour, a man has appeared in court, a 36-year-old man, Brazilian Spanish national, Marcos Aurelio Arduini Monzo. He's charged with the murder of 14-year-old Daniel Ajorin in High Knot in East London just a couple of days ago. Also charged with two counts of attempted murder, two counts of grievous bodily harm, aggravated burglary and possession of a bladed article. Tributes have been pouring in for the last 24 hours since Daniel was named as the 14-year-old killed, saying he was a wonderful child, much loved and gentle. And I don't know if you've seen the photos of his face that have adorned the mainstream media, but what a lovely little life snuffed out so quickly. So a man has appeared in court charged with his murder. Also, Scottish politics still dominating. John Swinney in the last hour has officially announced his leadership bid to be the next Humza Yousaf, the next leader of the Scottish National Party, for following Yousaf's departure earlier in the week, his announcement to resign once a successor can be found. And obviously yesterday, Scottish National Party avoided the vote of no confidence put to them by the other party. So they're still in government, but they need to find a new leader. Also, the new asylum seekers turning up to what was Tent City in Dublin have found themselves turned away in the last 24 hours since government officials cleared Mount Street of what has been described as a slum following complaints from local businesses and residents. And staying with asylum as well, extraordinary scenes in London today. Protesters attempting to stop migrants being moved from a hotel in South East London to the controversial Bibby Stockholm barge on the south coast of England in Dorset. They've surrounded a coach in the last half an hour that's earmarked to take the asylum seekers away, and they've slashed the tyres, preventing it from moving, preventing taking any 200 asylum seekers away from the Central London Hotel. The protesters are wearing masks, very COVID style type masks, and many of them allegedly from Black Lives Matter UK, which earlier were tweeting and urging their followers to turn up to their hotel and take action to stop asylum seekers being moved. So asylum once again very much in the headlines here in the last hour here in the UK on TNT, Rick.
Wow, that's an awful lot going on there. The SNP business, just on the political front, let's look at politics for a second here. So obviously, Swinney's thrown his hat in the ring. He probably will be elected as the leader of the SNP. But what a poison chalice to take into his little grubby paws this morning if he's successful, or this week if he's successful in that. A little bit like Simon Harris becoming the Taoiseach on the back end of Leo Varadkar's hasty exit from the position. He hasn't exactly got off to a flying start, and the party that he's heading up, Fine Gael, are in dire straits, I would think, politically. If there was to be a snap election called, I think they would be in big trouble, much the same as the SNP up in Scotland. Just a little follow-up, because we discussed the Lord Mayor, the new Mayor of Derry, this African lady, Lillian Barr, or Sinoy Barr. She's a Maasai woman who now identifies as a Derry girl. Her party, the SDLP, the Social Democratic and Labour Party, have had resignations on the back of this. So it's not just people that are, you know, kicking up about this is done. Why has this happened? Why was this not done with due process? A second SDLP councillor in Derry and Strabane District Council has resigned from the party. Shauna Cusack, who has been a councillor since 2013, so she's got 11 years service, Gemma, said she will now continue as an independent. And earlier this week, councillor Jason Barr also resigned from the party off of the back of this. Both have been critical of the party's selection process for the next council mayor, which is Lillian, saying that it was undemocratic. They have selected Lillian Sinoy Barr as the next mayor. So, interesting one here. You know, we can throw our, you know, comments and opinions in on this, but from within the party itself, Gemma, they've had two resignations of long-standing members off of the back of this, who aren't obviously towing the party line, or who are speaking out against this effectively and saying, we're not happy with this at all. We'd rather go independent than be part of this organization any further. Doesn't bode well for the SDLP either.
No, and if you look at what's happening with politics, if you think of that, Simon Harris becomes the new Taoiseach following Leo Varadkar's departure, the mayor that you've just talked about in Derry, if John Swinney throws his hat into the ring and is considered the next leader, Hamza Youssef himself only became the leader because Nicola Sturgeon resigned. You know, the whole thing of politics, Rishi Sunak himself is unelected properly. Yeah. David Cameron, our new foreign secretary, was unelected, parachuted into the role. It seems to be a very strange way that politics is being conducted at the moment on a local and national and international level. Of course, there are local elections today in England and Wales, and we'll see what the electorate in those neck of the woods think of the political process so far. But of course, yeah, where's due process? Where people are feeling so strongly, they're willing to give up positions they've held representing their local constituents, people ostensibly in local politics that they grew up with for decades, because it's not being done properly. It's not being done properly anywhere. It seems to be a state of political chaos, no matter where you look in the UK and in the Republic. But today's local elections. So I wonder if the conversation we'd be having tomorrow might paint a different picture, where the people have actually spoken, not the politicians fighting amongst themselves, not due process or unelected officials being parachuted in, but the actual electorate will say, this is what we think, you better listen to us because we are paying your wages.
Yeah, and of course, there's that mentality that politicians are no longer elected, they are selected. Of course, there's people that believe that. Maybe true, maybe not, in some cases at least, but this proves it with the SDLP business. Just to wrap this up, in a joint statement issued yesterday, Monday, councillors Cusack and Barr, the current deputy mayor. So there you have it. The current deputy mayor was actually stopped from running for the mayoral position. They had both intended to run for the position of mayor. However, they said they had been rejected as candidates for the role by their own party, removing us from the process and competition in order to put only one candidate forward for the post. So this was engineered from within the party itself. And they're coming out with it. This isn't my thoughts and opinions or my speculation here. This is coming from two SDLP councillors that have actually resigned off the back of this. They said, we were stopped and I was the deputy mayor. I wanted to run for this, but I was told, no, you're not being put forward. We're selecting one candidate. And of course, if there's only one candidate running for the position, well, then that candidate's going to get the position. So very odd indeed, Gemma.
Well, who's pulling the strings of that party? Who's funding that party to make that decision? Who's saying, right, this is what you're going to do. It's going to be unequivocal and you're going to do it. And they did. So this is always who's behind, who's the power behind that particular front-facing throne, you know, who is saying that this is the way it's going to go, risking, you know, the resignation, probably wanting the resignation of two stalwarts of the party who would have represented the people. This is clearly not one of those decisions that is representing the people. It's party interests and who funds party interests. You know, that if we had a bigger team of TNT investigative journalists and reporters, which I truly believe we will as we're growing by the day, you know, we will dispatch somebody to Derry to investigate, to follow, to doorstep people, to knock on doors, to look through files. That's where we need to find out where these decisions are coming from on a much higher level. That's what it smacks of to me. It obviously maneuvered, but by whom? Who was calling the shots on this one?
Who's the shot caller? That is the key question. And as they say, if you want to find out who the shot callers are, they say you have to follow the money. So maybe a little audit of the SDLP accounts and donors and, you know, benefactors would be in order. Maybe that would shed a little bit of light in that one. But for now, we'll leave a question mark beside it. But undoubtedly, this row isn't going to blow over with the SDLP. Two resignations in, what, 2-3 days? Maybe more will follow. Maybe a whistleblower will come out and reveal all. Who knows? Time will tell. But Gemma, thank you as always for getting us off to a great start here this morning on Locked and Loaded. We will talk again in the second hour. And in the meantime, prepare ourselves for the imminent arrival of Jonathan Tilt, my first guest here this morning. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT's James Freeman.
Proposals to construct a global censorship and information control operation led by the WHO have also been dropped. Thank God for that. What the hell has the WHO got to do with censoring online information? Provisions proposed to expand the scope of the IHR to include all risks with potential to impact public health, including climate change and food supply. Well, they have also been deleted. The scope now remains essentially unchanged, which is all about the spread of disease.
James Freeman on Today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Thursday, the 2nd of May, 2024. A lot happening today on the political front. A lot of elections going forward locally and mayoral elections happening. And I'm very happy to be joined this morning by Jonathan Tilt for the first time on Locked and Loaded here. He is an ex-party leader and founding member of the Freedom Alliance Party UK. And he's now an independent candidate for the West Yorkshire mayoral position. Good morning and welcome to the show, Jonathan. How are you doing this fine day?
I'm fine, thanks, Rick, and thanks for having me on. Yes, it's been a very frantic and hectic 4 weeks because West Yorkshire's an enormous area. It's got nearly 2.5 million people in it. So we've tried to cover it as well as we can. We've had a good campaign team going and we've had an awful lot of conversations, sort of wrapped the campaign up in Wetherby yesterday with a very positive day there.
So it's a big day, obviously, for you today, Jonathan. I was just having a look at your Twitter or your X page. Meet Jonathan. This was last Thursday, I think it was. You had a meeting and a final push for your electoral campaign. Not for sale, Jonathan Tilt for West Yorkshire Mayor. And some of the key policies that you're running off the back of are protect cash payments, right to unrestricted travel, focusing policy on crime, no net zero measures, opposing foreign wars, and to be accessible and responsive to the people that actually vote for you. it's hard to believe. Those seem like common sense points and common sense policies, but it's crazy that you have to push those forward. Common sense, you're almost running on a common sense platform here. It shows you how far our current, our leaders, inverted commas, leaders have fallen from, sanity, that you're actually running on the back of, we oppose foreign wars. We want people to travel freely. We want to be able to use the cash in our pockets. Shows you how far we've fallen, doesn't it?
It does, and those words, common sense, in terms of sort of emails I've had in from electors across West Yorkshire, that's probably the two words that get used the most. And thank God somebody's standing up for common sense, or finally a common sense candidate, and stuff like this. So yes, whilst that wasn't how we badged the campaign, we'd sort of focus very much on the not for sale, and not because the political parties are all funded by these big corporations, and they're funded by the same corporations. You've got the same people funding Labour and Tory and Liberals and Greens. It's it's obviously an openly corrupted system, and the only way round that is to start electing independents. These mayor positions, there's a real, real push to stop us travelling by car. I mean, there's no other way of, it's all quite subtle under the radar, restrictions here, restrictions there, but the mayors are being used to push that agenda. And so whether you agree with the concept of having elected mayors or not, we've got to try and get on the inside and disrupt the agenda from the inside, I think. Even with the little village I live in now, they're putting in parking meters today on election day. That areas have been free to park in for decades have now you've now got to pay £1 to park there. Tiny little villages out in the sticks. This is not town centre stuff, and they're actually doing it physically today on election day. They're putting these meters in place, so it's happening all the time. Leeds city centre, very, very difficult to get into by car now. And that's going to happen to all the other city centres and town centres in West Yorkshire fairly soon, I would suggest, unless I get elected as mayor.
There seems to be a multi-pronged attack as well on motorists, Jonathan. I'm trying to talk to as many independent mayoral candidates as I can here, because I agree with it. The only way forward in any of this is to get uncompromised independent candidates into positions where they can exert some kind of an influence to remove these policies, because obviously the Tory party, the Green party, the Labour party will not be doing anything of the sort. And I'm just looking across news headlines this morning, for example, and there are more headlines cropping up where more cities and more towns are trying to adopt these ULEZ, ultra low emission zones, or CASs as they're known, as Bristol Cleaner or CAS Cleaner Zone, CAZ. We see it up in Glasgow. That's just for emissions, but we're seeing it as well with speed limits. Edinburgh, Glasgow, Wales, the whole of Wales was restricted to 20 mile an hour speed limits in many, many places. And obviously it has proved to be terribly, unpopular with people, but yet they push on and they keep these forces in place, policies in place anyway. How much sway would you have over that? Should you get that position of mayor? I mean, would you have the power to say, look, we're scrapping this policy in this area? How much influence could you exert against that?
It's complicated. I mean, the mayor's job is effectively two jobs. You're police and crime commissioner, where you do have full authority. You are the police and crime commissioner, and you set the policing objectives, which they have to adhere to. We are going to set a police, if I'm elected, a police and crime plan that says no enforcement of lockdowns and mask mandates and things like that. And the motoring provisions will be in there as well. So there is clear and a distinct authority there. Over the other areas of responsibility, which is transport, then you have to operate through something called the combined authority, which is yourself and the leaders of the five elected councils in West Yorkshire. Your authority is diluted, but what you have got is a platform to push back against all this stuff and call out nonsense, because they are worried. They do realise no popular buy-in for any of this stuff, other than the sort of 5-10% of absolute ego zealots. There's nobody is going to vote for this stuff. So they're trying to be quite subtle, a little bit here. Even as you say, giving it different names in different cities, it's not the same thing everywhere. Being in a position to call that out, platform that, to go on, to get widespread coverage on the local television channels and the local radio channels and oppose what's happening is powerful in itself. I mean, you do have some direct authority as well to try and prevent some of the implementation of some of these measures. The clean air thing is a scam. I mean, the MOT has emissions requirements in it, which, 99.5% of people adhere to, 5.5% don't. The way to clean air up in town centres is to enforce MOTs, not to stop everybody driving into town centres.
Yeah, yeah. So I think really what I'm trying to ascertain here, and you've answered the question, is, you know, would you be tied up in endless amounts of red tape where you try and prevent some of these policies? The answer to that's no, because as the police and, you know, and crime commissioner,
that's true.
Cut straight to the chase with a lot of these, rather than saying, well, I'm going to fight to get this and I'm going to fight to get that. You will have the power to actually swing the axe and take the axe to a lot of these mad policies right from the get-go. We've got to take a little... a headline break right now. When we come back at the other side, I just want to get your views on what you've heard or what you've seen as you've been out canvassing out at the coalface, at the grassroots level. What have people been saying to you? You know, because we can have a very skewed perspective of what we think people want, but no doubt the best way to find that out is to get out there and to engage with your potential voters, which you've been doing. So I want to find out a little bit about what they have been saying and whether or not you feel that there's a swell of support behind you for these policies. So we'll do that when we come back in about 30 seconds time here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
TNT.
Here's what's making news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with your TNT headlines. US President Joe Biden's plan to resettle Palestinians from Gaza in the United States has lit a match among Republicans.
Your towns and villages will now be accepting people from Gaza.
Dozens of Western tanks and armoured vehicles captured by Russian troops in Ukraine have gone on display in Moscow. And the UK has started detaining migrants in preparation for them to be removed from the country under the government's new immigration policy.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Yes, in conversation, live, unscripted, and all that jazz with the one and only Jonathan Tilt, ex-party leader and founding member of the Freedom Alliance, now running as an independent candidate for mayor of West Yorkshire. Jonathan, you've been out and about, no doubt canvassing. There's policies that you've put forward, you've been running off the back of for a long time. What's the reception been on the doorsteps? Have you heard people saying, well, you're crazy, or no, we need to save the planet, or have they been saying, well, actually, I can't afford to pay these parking fines, I can't afford to change my car. I don't believe that exhaust fumes are killing us as I drive my car through Yorkshire. What's your reception been on some of these policies?
Well, one of the main reasons for doing this election is you get, there's an election booklet that gets delivered to every voter in West Yorkshire. It's printed by Leeds City Council, which you get a page in, and all the other candidates get a page in. So I use that opportunity to be quite hard-hitting, saying that, you know, climate alarmism is a scam. It's going to make us all hungrier, colder, and poorer. It won't save the world, and there is no climate emergency. So, I was absolutely clear cut about where I stood. The first encouraging thing is most people, it seems people have read that. A lot of people are coming up to me, and they know about me already, which includes the people that are, you know, deeply opposed to what we're doing, but at least they've heard of me. The general sense I'm getting from talking to people on the streets, we don't do the doorstepping because we think that's a little bit intrusive, is to go back on people's doors, but we do set ourselves up in town centres and invite people to come and chat with us, and they do in the hundreds. The general sense is a lot of people smell a rat around climate alarmism, and they're glad that we're giving, you know, we're validating that they're sort of niggling concerns about it, that it's not what it's presented at. It's you know, at the very best, it's an opportunity to tax us more, and at the worst, it's an opportunity to, you know, control and confine us. So that's been my overriding feeling, is that there's a large chunk of the population that do get it, that there's something, you know, there's something not right about the whole climate change agenda. It's not what it's billed as, and they don't like it. And, you know, I'm giving them the opportunity to express that through their vote, and hopefully lots of them do. And, you know, I mean, you know, it would be great to be Mayor of West Yorkshire and to be able to roll back these restrictions, and hopefully I will be this time on Saturday. But even, you know, even a good vote for me, 10, 15, 20% of the people putting a cross next to my name sends a powerful message to those in London that, you know, the population are getting this. Because it's absolutely clear-cut where I stand on this, on climate alarmism and on COVID. You know, I've campaigned against all of it from the start. So there's no, you know, it's not diluted in any way. If 20% of the people in West Yorkshire put a cross next to me, that means 20% of the people in West Yorkshire are, you know, awake to what is going on. And that will shock them in the same way that 800,000 people going on a march in London shocks them.
I think also it's important. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the world that wouldn't say, listen, we need to respect the environment if possible. You know, don't drop litter, don't chuck plastic bags into the sea and, you know, kill the dolphins. That's common sense stuff again. But I think the problem comes whenever stuff is rammed down our throats. So, for example, they're telling us if you drive a diesel or a petrol car, you're killing the planet. You're going to cause coastal floodings. We can't let you do that. We're going to penalize you financially for that. If you want to buy an electric car, go ahead and do it, but it shouldn't be mandatory, or they shouldn't be trying to outlaw, you know, internal combustion engines. That takes away someone's freedom of choice. And one of the things just on the climate alarmism business, you'd highlighted a post here. This was actually put up by Oxfordshire Council, and this is just an example of the alarmism. They said, we want Oxfordshire to be at the forefront of the fight against climate change. If we can't make it work with a world-leading innovation economy and the finest seat of learning in the history of human civilization, then who can? And so effectively, Oxfordshire Council were saying, you know, we have the power to change the climate here. And somebody has replied to that one and said, well, how about just emptying the bins? How about emptying the bins? How about keeping the streetlights on like a proper council? I mean, I'd like to be pan-galactic president, but I'm an IT middle manager who just drives a car. Councils know your limits. It's all fine, Jonathan, telling us that they're going to save the planet and they're going to stop the sea like King Canute. Remember, he set his throne and he ordered the sea to come back and he ended up getting wet feet. He, as a king, couldn't do anything about it. What makes Oxfordshire Council think they can do anything about it? And what about sticking to the basics? What about police, more police on the streets? What about emptying the bins in time? What about filling in the potholes that are wrecking people's wheels? You know, simple things like that surely are more appealing than being eco-warriors, are they not?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And at the council level, there are hundreds of independents standing up, well, in West Yorkshire, but across the country as well, many of whom are from, you know, from the freedom movement, are people, if you like. So, you know, even if you're not in, if you're listening to this and you're not in West Yorkshire, please have a look at, you know, who's standing for your council, because that's where we take, you know, take back control of refocusing the councils on what they should be doing. I think I remember that message. I think it's Graham Kemp, who's a long-standing campaigner on the Freedom Front, so he wrote that comment, and it's absolutely spot on, isn't it? But you're right. I mean, you know, environmentalism has been hijacked in the same way that healthcare was hijacked during COVID. I mean, our stewardship of the planet is poor. There's no disputing that. There's much that we could do better, but it's not, carbon's not the problem. I'm a cyclist. I'm sat here campaigning for, you know, for our right to travel by car. But I've always been a cyclist. I cycle to work 8 miles away most of the time. But that's my choice. I'm not having somebody tell me I've got to cycle to work. If I want to go in the car one day, I'm going in the car. that's where. And buy an electric car if you want. And they shouldn't be subsidised in the way they've been subsidised, and they shouldn't be forced down our throats. But if you want to buy an electric car, you think that's the best option, then that's fine. That's your choice.
And I think the people that are buying the EVs, there's a few commentators that I have on here regularly. You know, we're tracking the progress of the EV sales, or the lack of progress in EV sales, appreciation. Yeah. The bubble is bursting very much with many EV owners, and they're trying to revert back to internal combustion engine cars again. But again, that's their choice. If that's what they want to do, they should be free to fill their proverbial boots and do it. Just as we're up this one up, Jonathan, I noticed a message or a post here from the notorious gangster, aka Sadiq Khan, with a little warning flash up on his social media account. He said, this is not a drill. There is a serious threat of us, being Labour in London, losing free school meals, having TfL fares increase, and working up to a hard right Trump supporting mayor. Don't let this be another Brexit or Trump moment. Make your plan to vote Labour today. And he has a little graph showing Labour at 40%, apparently, Tories at 35.3%, the Greens at 7.8%, and the Lib Dems languishing down there at 4.4%. So what he's saying is, if you're passionate about progressive issues, vote Labour and stop the Tories. What has Sadiq Khan actually stopped in his last few years? What has he stopped? Has he actually stopped anything, or has he rather rammed stuff through that's potentially bankrupting a lot of Londoners and, of course, done damn all to address knife crime that's rampant in the streets of London at this time?
And I think they are worried in London. I do have the sort of, the Northerners' dislike of this constant focus on London. I mean, there are 10 other mayoral elections taking place in the country today, and there's 43 police commissioner elections taking place everywhere in England and Wales. So knife crime is rampant elsewhere as well, including West Yorkshire. It's not just rampant in London. So this sort of obsessive focus on the London mayoral election, I think, is unhelpful. There's what, 7-8 million people live in London. There's 50-odd million people live in the rest of England and Wales, mm-hmm. aren't there? You do have options elsewhere. It isn't just about Sadiq Khan versus Susan Hall. But I think they are worried in London. I don't think that's done for appearance's sake. I think they are genuinely panicking, Labour in London.
Yeah. Well, let's hope as these elections take place today, my hope and belief is that the independents get a real damn good run at it. And we do see independents put in situ, even by this weekend, to begin undoing some of these lunatic policies that are really hurting the people that are actually out voting for their mayoral candidates today. So we're out of time on this one for now. Jonathan, I want to give you a big thanks for coming on the show today and having a chat with me, just directing people your way. If you're listening in Jonathan's neck of the woods in West Yorkshire, get yourself out and vote for him today. You can follow him on social media at Jonathan Tilt, T-I-L-T on X, or jonathan-tilt.co.uk. That's his website. So, it's never too late. Get out there and get your ex on there beside his name before the polls close today. And I wish you all the best. And maybe, hopefully, God knows, let's hope for the best here. You'll get elected. And if you are, we'll get you back and see how your axe swinging is going on with regards to undoing these Gordian knot type policies that are wrecking the people of West Yorkshire. So big thanks to you this morning, Jonathan, for coming on. Best of luck to you. Wish you all the best. And hopefully we'll stay in touch. That's Jonathan Tilt. I'm Rick Munn. And Basil Valentine is on his way in to the TNT Towers as we speak. We'll be right back after this short break here. Don't go away.
We come from a long line of farmers, and there's a sense of pride with being part of these multi-generational businesses. But there's also a significant amount of pressure. My senior year of high school, my dad made the decision that this world no longer needed him in it. I don't know if he was overwhelmed by the bills and checks that weren't going to be coming in because of the strawberries dying off, but it breaks my heart that my dad made a permanent decision for a temporary issue. Don't feel like you have to go through it alone.
Farmers have to take care of their physical and their mental health, because what's a farm without a farmer?
In the mornings, that's my time. Watching the sun come up, I can have a cup of coffee and exercise if I want to. It helps me start the day with a sense of gratitude.
Yay!
Every day is a new opportunity. Don't forget to check in on yourself. Love your mind.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, yes. Where did the time go? That ad flew by like a rocket. I was just scratching myself there. Thankfully, Murray gave me the heads up. We're coming back on here. So here we are, live, locked and loaded, TNT, today's News Talk. And of course, it's that time of the day, when I'm joined again by our stalwart, the one and only political editor extraordinaire, Basil Valentine. Basil, have to ask the question. It's part of the drill. How are you doing today?
Great to be with you, and hello to our viewers and listeners all around the world. Well, as you know, we always share stories the night before that we might discuss, and then I open the various tabs so that we can quickly switch like greased lightning, looking very clever from one story to another. I don't think I've ever had so many open this morning. We've got the elections, of course, local elections, 2,500 council seats up for grabs across England and Wales. The Scottish government has survived a no confidence vote and is now looking for a new leader, with John Swinney, the heavy favourite to replace Hamza Youssef. The only viable candidate would appear to be Kate Forbes, who had the support of a whopping 87% of people polled on one online poll. But she apparently is waiting for a message from God. She's a devout Christian, and she's waiting to get the nod from the big man upstairs as to whether or not she should run for the top job. Meanwhile, yesterday, and I know this will please you, Rick, a record 711 migrants crossed the channel in small boats into the UK, the highest number in a single day this year. Take your pick, or we'll go from there.
Well, let's look at the channel crossings here against the backdrop of we're stopping the boats. We're going to do all we can. We're not facilitating this anymore. A record number crossing the channel. And of course, we're into May now. Technically speaking, we're into summertime at the minute. So the channel should be a little bit more amenable to crossings from France, not as risky and dangerous as it is during the winter months. So if anything, Basil, if we hit the record yesterday, I think it was 711, I would say that record will be progressively beaten as we move our way into June, July and August time. And here's the question for you. You know, the focus is always on stop the boats. And many people have commented rightly so. The boats aren't the only way in which people are coming into the UK. What about through the Channel Tunnel? What about in lorries or shipping containers? We're led to focus on the boats, but I think the boats are just a part of this problem. Certainly they're there. You can't argue with that. They're coming across the channel, but they're coming across the channel by more than one method. Is this part of the distraction campaign to get us to focus on dinghies rather than what's coming through on the Channel Tunnel, or who's coming through in the Channel Tunnel or on the backs of lorries? What do you think about that?
Indeed, that's much harder to police, but the hardest to police, of course, are people who simply outstay their visas. You could come into the country legally through Gatwick Airport, like anybody else. You've got a visa for 3-6 months, maybe a year or two even. And at the end of it, you simply don't go home. And they make up quite a large proportion of that, nearly two-thirds that the Home Office say they've lost track of. 700 in one day, if the weather stays the same, and people continue to cross at that rate and no greater, that's 20,000 people a month. That would represent 100,000 people over the course of the summer, May, June, July, August, September. That's an absolutely extraordinary number. And there's nowhere for the existing asylum seekers to go. So quite where another 100,000 are supposed to go, I've absolutely no idea. Since Monday, apparently, asylum seekers earmarked for deportation have been detained at sites across the UK, including during immigration raids on houses and routine immigration check-ins. The Home Office have said that flights are due to take off to Rwanda in between 9 and 11 weeks. Don't hold your breath. There's a picture of a group of migrants in high-visibility vests walking along the beach with a dinghy in France, and a large inflatable dinghy which they're about to board in their bid to reach the UK. The key question, of course, is, I mean, a lot of people like my late parents in their dotage preferred to live in France to the UK because she has a better standard of living. The trains are much more agreeable. The food is absolutely incomparable. So I'm not quite sure why everybody wants to come to Britain when France is, to a lot of people, the most desirable place in the world to live.
Well, you know, here's the thing too, Basil. This business, it's a compound number as well, because this figure of 711 yesterday isn't just taken in isolation. We'll see more probably coming in today and tomorrow and the next day. And as you done the mental arithmetics there, you know, what's that 700 by 30, 20,000-ish, 20,000 a month. That's compounded. Month, yeah. So that's 20,000 this month and probably next month and the month after. And that's on top of the people that have already come here and haven't been deported. So when you actually put that in the scales, or you weigh that in the balances versus who might be put on a plane to Rwanda, maybe in the next 9 to 11 weeks, you know, the scales are tipping very much in favor of people flooding into the country and not being deported. And we know that the accommodation has been sitting empty in Rwanda for quite some time. The question is, why is it taking potentially 9 to 11 weeks to get this thing off the ground, no pun intended, to get these flights off the ground when everything's already been in place and they've been talking about it for the last 2 years?
You have to ask civil servants that question, Rick. I'm not party as to why there are the delays. Apart from anything else, they've got to find the people to fill the planes, haven't they? And of course, I expect there will be considerable pushback from well-meaning individuals who don't want to see any deportations at all. Often when individuals are identified by immigration enforcement officers for deportation, you find it becomes physically very difficult for people to actually be removed from their place of dwelling or whatever. It obviously appears inhumane for enforcement officers to raid a house and grab somebody and shove them in the back of a van and tell them they're flying to another country thousands of miles away. In isolation, that looks like a terrible thing to do. But the simple fact is that Britain cannot cope with hundreds of thousands of illegal migrants arriving every year. And the key thing to remember is for those that advocate open borders, exactly what number of migrants do you think is acceptable and that we can accommodate? Because the fact is, there's no upper limit to the number of people that would like to come and live in the UK. No upper limit at all. You know, the more come, the more will come. It's not like, oh, well, there's this population of 50,000 displaced people and, you know, like perhaps the Vietnamese boat people or something, was a limited number of people were ever going to relocate somewhere. That isn't the case with this. This is completely untrammeled immigration from dozens of different countries, Algeria, Albania, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Horn of Africa, West Africa, Bangladesh, you name it, everywhere under the sun, quite literally. You know, it remains to be seen whether this impacts the local elections. There's also a parliamentary by-election in Blackpool South, where former Tory MP Scott Benton, of course, resigned after being found guilty of breaching standards rules in a lobbying scandal. Labour says it's very hopeful of taking the seat, which Benton won with a majority of 3,690 in 2019. In spite of its relative proximity to Rochdale, just across the other side of Lancashire, the Workers' Party of Great Britain are not fielding a candidate. So it's widely expected that Labour will indeed win that seat. Keir Starmer said last night in a statement, if his words are worth tuppence halfpenny, shall we hear them, Rick, or not bother? I mean, the man's a professional liar.
Well, he is. Well, you know, let's give us a little synopsis of what he's been saying. What's the gist of what he was saying? Let's give him some of that. Let's give him the gist, but not the full body.
Yeah, absolutely. Even this is mendacious because he said last night, a vote for Labour is for a plan to tilt our economy back towards the interests of working people and restore a sense of service to our politics. I mean, nothing that Labour currently proposes heads in that direction at all. They've just dropped from their planned reform to workers' rights the abolition of zero-hours contracts. That is actually to be retained. So it's purely rhetoric. It's as simple as that. It doesn't, you know, nothing will change under Labour, least of all in local government.
No, the only thing, I suppose, is that, you know, the Tories are probably going to have a bit of a bloodbath with these elections today. A previous guest, Jonathan Tilt, we were talking about his run for mayor up in West Yorkshire. You know, I mentioned Sadiq Khan's run for things in London, of course. And as he rightly pointed out, you know, London's only part of what's happening. It's attracting a lot of attention at the minute, but it's only part of what's happening. It's a massive day today at the polls. The Guardian saying that the polls are open in England, which is today, obviously, for England's local elections, with Tories braced for heavy losses. The party's predicted to lose about half of the 1,000 seats it's defending in the contest that could shape Rishi Sunak's future. Half, 500 seats out of 1,000. And that's probably a best case scenario. Could it be much worse than that? Could they be celebrating over losing half their seats tomorrow? Or could they be lamenting that maybe way more than 500 out of the 1,000 have gone to other parties?
Well, this is it. Sometimes when the outturn isn't as bad as the expectations, politicians can claim a victory. And the two ones to watch tonight are the mayoral campaigns in the West Midlands and the Tees Valley, both of which the Conservatives hold. The concern for Sunak is that if they lose both of those, then there may be a challenge to the leadership of the Tory party. We may get another prime minister, but Sadiq Khan is a shoo-in. He leads Susan Hall by 22 points. So like him or loathe him, Ulez is set to stay.
And so are stabbings and rising knife crime and everything else that's associated with Sadiq Khan. Just interestingly, Basil, just having a look here at numbers again. So these elections cover more than 2,600 seats across 107 English councils in total. So what this article is saying is this will be a key test whether the Conservative Party is as unpopular with voters as polls suggest. So, of course, polls are there. Listen, you can take polls with a pinch of salt. Sometimes they're accurate. Many times they're not accurate. We can get shocks and surprises. But it would be, don't you think, a shock and a surprise if the Tories didn't get a battering at the polls here. And if they do, again, with the deadline for the next general election being January of next year, you know, how could Sunak hold on to his unelected position as PM if they do get a kicking today at the polls?
Well, the Tories have got to weigh up the downside of hanging on to an unpopular leader like Sunak with the bad PR that would be generated by another leadership campaign and another unelected leader, which is going to be worse. It's as simple as that. The two mayors have both distanced themselves from Sunak. And if they lose, in spite of having tried to put clear blue water between themselves and Downing Street, then that will look very bad. Likewise, in the Conservative heartlands, like Tunbridge Wells, Dorset, Wokingham, you know, the real sort of stockbroker belt areas, voters are apparently, well, according to the leader of the Liberal Democrats, switching to them. Every vote for the Liberal Democrats is a vote to elect a strong local champion who will fight for a fair deal for you and your community. All the cliches there. I think what we're going to see is a general lack of enthusiasm for both the main parties. Labour will claim victory by default to a certain extent. But I think if you go back and count the actual number of votes cast for Labour this time round as against when these seats were last contested, you might find that that's down. They might end up with more seats, but fewer votes, simply because the Conservative vote has collapsed even further. So I'll be interested to see how the Liberal Democrats do, as well as how various independents do, because all the national polls are basically saying to both Labour and Tories, a plague on both your houses. Everyone is completely fed up with politics. So when we pick over the bones of it tomorrow, I think it's going to be a thumbs down for the two main parties in Westminster all round. And I sincerely hope so.
I think it is. Just briefly, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Labour's New Deal for Workers will not fully ban zero-hours contracts. Revised proposals will allow employees to choose a zero-hour option, prompting fears of undue pressure from employers. So this again is under Labour. Again, could prove to be a very bad policy here. Just in closing, what do you make of this New Deal for Workers not banning zero-hours contracts?
It turns out then that it isn't a new deal. You know, we've seen the balance of power between labour and employers, between workers and employers, you know, the pendulum swung a huge way in favour of employers. Everybody virtually now works in the gig economy. To have a job with security of tenure such that you can raise a mortgage on it is very, very difficult to find these days. people far prefer just employing people on an ad hoc basis. So, you know, I don't think it's going to amount to very much at all. The 0 hours contracts thing was one of the sort of supposedly jewels in the crown of this. They've abandoned that. It will remain as an option for employers. And finally, I just want to say, Sunak was, Starmer was interviewed on GMTV yesterday, where, I mean, he flat out lied, because on LBC at the beginning of the Gaza war, he said that Israel has the right to cut off water, power and food to Gaza. And he's just started saying he didn't say that, but he's caught on tape saying it. I mean, at least if you're going to contradict yourself, have the honour and decency to say, I said that, I was wrong, you know.
Yeah. It was a slip of the tongue, but to come flat out and deny you said something when you actually are on record as saying it not too long ago either, kind of makes him lose even more face than the guy has already lost. The music's playing in the background now, Basil. Very, very interesting day today, and no doubt we're going to have quite the time of it tomorrow as the election results are filtering through, just how bad this bloodbath may be for the Tory party. So I'm almost rubbing my hands together in anticipation for tomorrow morning. Shouldn't wish my life away, but let's see what happens. Basil, many thanks to you. Check out the Patrick Henningsen show tonight. Basil is standing in again like an absolute trooper. 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. UK time. Check out Basil's show tonight in lieu of Patrick Henningsen. And I'll be back at the other side of the news here with more Locked and Loaded on TNT, today's news talk.